really cool.
Bonjour, hello, welcome to Rosbif Rugby, your one-stop shop for all things French rugby, the top 14, the Pro Day de National, Champions Cup, this week in particular, Challenge Cup, the brilliant towns, cities, bars, food, fans, and everything else in between. I'm Richard, and today we have a very, very special edition of the podcast with a nod ahead to Quinn's playing to lose in the Champions Cup semi-final on Sunday. I'm joined, as ever, before we get into that, by my trusty Rosbif colleague, Rob. How's it all going?
Good, thank you, mate. I've been excited about this all day. The extra delay that we've given ourselves has allowed me to watch more rugby. So I'm ready and pumped up to talk about all things French rugby.
Fantastic. You are today not sporting any... I know you're wearing a Sawyer Hongglen hat, but you are also wearing a Pombear
Southern
cricket
Brave
shirt. Southern Brave. That is really...
Showing my Ros beefness there.
Yeah, that's real like sunburn territory, isn't it? How have you been? You said you managed to see a decent chunk of the French rugby this weekend.
I've watched very little English rugby, and I'm intrigued to know how your day out at Twickenham was, because I haven't even seen a single second of this game. But you were at Twickenham, or the Big Stoop, as they call it.
The big stoop
in the hall, which is like fingernails down a blackboard to me.
Big stoop. I like the little reverse of the big stoop. Flip it on its head. It was great. Yeah, really good day out. I've never been to one of the call it either the big game, I think, around Christmas, or this is called the big summer kickoff, I want to say.
Yeah.
And it was cracking. There were 16 of us, a load of old schoolmates who for various reasons decided that this was the way to get together. Left, you know, other people's children at home and things, and saw a few folk who came out of the woodwork for the first time in about 15 years. And it was cracking, like fair play. I think we've been to a few Harlequins away matches over the years with a couple of friends of ours who are diehard Quins fans. And it's fair to say I think they've got it pretty spot on. Obviously very handy having one of the biggest rugby stadiums in the world just around the corner. Wicked day. Bit of Jess Glynn before kickoff, bit of Masioki afterwards. Typically frenetic affair, as you'd expect, between Quins and Northampton, who put on a bit of a show, to be honest. It was pretty chaotic stuff. Northampton a little bit inaccurate. Quins, to be fair, looking pretty good, as you would hope, going into a semi-final against a reasonably strong Toulouse team. But we will get onto that later. Anything else happened to you over the weekend of notes?
Well,
I
didn't watch any rugby on Saturday, really, with the exception of about 20 minutes of Stade Francais versus Clermont, which I attempted to watch on the train back. So I was visiting my friend who lives near Andover, the one who's stag do we had to Bordeaux. It was good to see that he was repping his Ubebe sunglasses, which did have some UV protection, I believe. He was busy checking Instagram for was Madosh Tambwe playing this weekend. Unfortunately, not was the answer.
Sure.
But he was very pleased that they got that win over Bayonne at Stade Jean Doger. But I was watching a bit of Top 14 on my iPad on the way back at kind of I think it was like the 9:45 train from Andover back to Waterloo, and snacks. You know me, Richard. I can be prone to go quite large when it comes to train snacks and stuff like that. So a kind of full platter laid out on the table, and a guy got on. Must have been Basingstoke. Shout out Jamie if you're listening, as you said you would. So hopefully you found us, but. Kind of he walked past my screen and kind of bit of a double take, and he was wearing, I saw the kind of Pulse Energy sponsor of a Highlanders hoodie, and I was like, here we go, this guy knows what he's talking about. I could just see from carrying a pair of boots as well, carrying a pair of like copper Mundials, and he kind of just sat down a few seats away, and then we proceeded to have a half hour conversation about French rugby, which was amazing. He'd actually lived in France for quite a bit, Capbreton, Haute-Corse sort of area, bit of surfing, bit of rugby. He's now coach of Fiji Warriors in the Super Seven series, which is a tournament that I'm gonna have to do a bit more digging on, but
Oh,
sounds
wow.
flair. Although, as we know, coaching a Fijian Sevens team is like coaching a South African scrum or stuff like that. One of the easier jobs in world rugby, I imagine. But no, Jamie sounded like he knew what he was talking about. It was a scary moment where I actually think he knew a bit more about French rugby than me, which was terrifying. Having said, oh yeah, no, we've set up an account, we do a podcast. It was amusing how random the meeting was that just shows that there are French rugby fans out there wherever they are.
Yeah, absolutely. You could have fooled us by looking at our podcast download statistics, but apparently they are out there. So
They
that's
just
good
need to
stuff.
find us. They just need
They
to find us, mate.
just need to find us. Well, maybe that's let's launch in then. Maybe that's a good place to start. Clermont Stade Français, the bits I saw of it, my summary in my notes was Clermont turned it on, Stade Français. Change kit looks unbelievable.
How good.
It's
Oh.
incredible, isn't it?
Oh, with the gold writing on, like the gold Kappa writing and bit of gold Capri-Sun logo on the
It's
old
just
school blue and red with the lightning bolts. Oh, Zach Henry was looking fantastic in it.
yeah, he was. They were all looking unbelievable, but they did also get completely drilled at the Stade
Yeah,
Marcel
well,
Achelin.
they had a man set off on 26 minutes. Have you seen the red card?
I actually haven't. No, I've seen a lot of red cards. I miss that.
So it's from a kickoff. Halafonua drops the ball from the kickoff, like a real clear, like in the chest, goes a mile forward, knock on. Whistle blows, but he, in kind of frustration, pick the ball up and run with it, as kind of pro rugby players do. Bautista Del Gui is kind of on the kick chase, and in running into Bautista Del Gui, having picked up the ball, Halafonua just elbows him in the throat.
Excellent.
And yeah, like Doggy has made sure the ref has seen it, in as you would, but like it was just completely pointless because the whistle had gone, he'd knocked it on, and he's just sold his team down the river after 26 minutes. They looked pretty insipid actually after that point. Before that, they did score a wonderful try set up by Leo Barret and a great bit of play from Joe Marchant.
I did see
But
that. That was very
other than
nice.
that, they looked a bit directionless. And Clermont was just a bit of a reminder that they've got some really good players. Like Racker he's been a bit low on confidence. He looked phenomenal. He looked hungry. And he scored a
He
hat
does
trick.
look hungry quite a lot, doesn't he? To be fair,
Well, yeah,
he's
but
not
he
a
just
small
looked.
man.
I mean, we've seen him in the flesh actually against Quins a few years ago, and he just looked like a different, genuinely looked like from a different planet. Like he looked like a some sort of composite alien type machine.
He's a powerful guy, isn't he?
And it was got he's still quite young. He's just an X Factor player. I think like they're going to be all. I think they're going to be fine in this relegation battle, just because if he's back on form, they've got such an outlet. He was so good.
Yeah, and I think as well for Clermont, notwithstanding the red card, which which tilts things a bit in their favour. Stade Français, not only are they top, but they've won what? That's what we've waxed lyrical about quite a lot. Six games away from
Six
the end
out of
this
ten
year,
before that, yeah.
which is quite amazing in the context of the top 14. So that was never, ever going to be a walkover. And they really clicked in places. We could mention lots of names in this, but the depth that France have at scrum half, and I
Yeah.
thought Jeannot looked ridiculous again, given he's about
He scored a
nine.
try out of absolutely nowhere. So I think he was the previous under 20s. I think he was the most recent World Cup winner for of the under 20s for them. But yeah, he looked electric, just scored a try out of nowhere. Helped having a good pack. Their back row, for all that kind of Clermont have fallen away, they had a back row of Yarto, Fritz Lee, and some other freak with Peter Söderkula on the bench. Like, it was just, it's a ridiculous side at full
Yeah.
strength with Moala at 12. Yeah, they, I think they'll, I mean, that's a big win for them in the context of this relegation game, relegation battle as well.
100%. And good, in a way, good to see
Kremer,
them.
Marcos Kremer is the other back
Kremer,
rower.
tough,
Like,
tough gig. Lee,
what a
Kremer, and
weak,
Yate.
yeah, what a weak back row that is.
Yeah, ridiculous. But I think really good to what one. I don't know. They've fallen away so much over the last few years, albeit without really being in any danger of sort of going down. Hopefully, they've averted that now. But there are a couple of clips, and you could really hear the Marcel Michelin like roar again as they're, you
Yeah.
know, the way they used to steamrollering sides at home, and it's a pretty special place that. And
Yeah.
yeah, good. Fair to say, good to see them do some damage to one of the big boys.
Yeah. And they've hit some form because they've got the semi-final this weekend. Do you know where they're playing?
They're playing at this game, very Harlequinsy podcast,
There's
isn't
the
it? They're
thing.
playing at the Stoop, if anyone wants their fill of. It's an early kickoff, I think, on Saturday. Am I right? Against the Sharks?
Yeah, it should be, I imagine. It
Yeah.
is 12:30.
So yeah, if anyone wants to go and get their fill of French rugby in Southwest London, then do get down
Or if you're
there.
in Southwest London and you've not had enough fill of South Africans, then also get down to the stadium on Saturday.
There could be some. I mean, I don't know how they'll approach it. There could be some. There could be some names on offer there, couldn't there? Sharks v Clermont. Some
Yeah.
real big hitters kicking
I
about.
did see on the rugby pod, they were doing a few promos with Vincent Cock and Evan Etzebeth. So yeah, I'd imagine they'll be playing.
Blimey. Well, yeah, Clermont. That's a shout out to them. And if you can get down there, do go for it. Talking of big hitters, I'm going to gloss over it. My beloved Cast, with one of the all-time great meltdowns. They lost away to Oyonnax at the Maurice Boyau, and contrived,
Oyonnax's
I think,
first win of 2024.
since 8 BC. And I think they were 13-0 up and then went down to 13 men. Although the errata read, I thought, was incredibly harsh.
Oh, come on.
He's tripped. He's tripped over him. Errata's
Yeah,
about 11 to stone.
but he's also he couldn't have landed more perfectly on the top of his crown. Like, he looks like a circus act, just like a spinning top, like it's or a break dancer. He lands perfectly on the top of his head.
Ridiculous outcome-based
Is one of those ones where
refereeing
it's like the
that.
momentum of it is like, oh, okay.
It's completely ludicrous. But yeah, fair play to Oyonnax. First win for a while. Did you see who scored a try for them as well?
Gavin Stark, yeah.
Gavin Stark, who maybe the full story is for another time, but we briefly met in a bar in Po a few years ago,
While he was playing for Beerus.
while he was playing for Biarritz. And on that note, Po, unsurprisingly, didn't get a win away at Lyon because
Can
seemingly
I
no one
just
does.
on the cast game, do you have any objections to the Levan Cilicava red card,
No.
where he elbowed someone right in the Adam's apple?
No, that was fairly blatant. I would
He is
say
now
that's
top of the table for of the bad boys list. Two yellows, one red in the top 14. Levan Cilicava.
two yellows, one. Is that all for?
Yeah, I was surprised. I'm surprised there's no one. I thought he might have got two reds, but
I did see a national the other day. There's a guy who plays for Tarp, who I think has had two red cards in his last three matches. So
Wow.
yeah, the Chilichar has got some way to go. But no objections to that. But yeah, Pau lost at the Stade Lyon are actually, I mean, yeah, when it clicks at home, they look great, don't they? Ninyashvili was again magnificent.
If that game was it was closer than it looks. Like it was quite close for a lot of it. But yeah, I mean, I would never have expected Poe to win that game. The size of the pack that Leon picked was just
Vast.
enormous.
Yeah. Yeah,
When you've
there
got
was a
Kapoko at six and Arnaud Bota at seven, and that Guyard bloke at he's like 6 foot 6 for a number eight. He's quite, I don't think he's that like weighty, but he's massive. He's like 20 as well. He
Yeah,
was
there was
great.
one of their tries was they got a sort of pushover maul, didn't they? And it
Yeah.
looked like it sort of, yeah, it just looked like a lot of men go at like a lot of man mass going
That was
forward.
the Kapoku one, I think, yeah.
I think it was Kapoki, yeah, you're right. So yeah, Leon steady themselves in that relegation
I don't
battle.
know how, like, they played really well. They're really good at home. I don't know how they can, how they only have 1 point from their away games all year. I don't know how they can be that good at home and just be non-existent effectively away. I don't understand that.
Yeah. What? So 1 point. So not even one win, right? They've
One
snuck a
point. They've
losing
got a
bonus
bonus
point
point at some
somewhere,
point, yeah.
or a try bonus point. Yeah. It's. Also, they don't. It's not. They don't always seem to pick complete reverse teams as well. There's clearly. I mean, we said this. There are. In fairness to Leon, I mean that's quite extreme, but they're not the only ones with that sort of record. But
They
as
are
you
the
say,
worst in the league,
with
though,
they are
in
the
terms of
worst,
number of points. Yeah.
but they're not a total outlier in terms of being, fairly useless away from home. Yeah, straight. I mean, they feel like there's a lot of cash at Lyon, isn't there? And maybe there's just, I don't know. Maybe they're not a million miles away. It takes a. There was talk. I know it's not happening now, but there was talk, wasn't there, for a while of Maro Itoje going to Lyon. Maybe they're a couple of real wise, experienced heads away from being a proper challenger. But certainly at home, they're pretty tasty. Do you know if they ever play any games at the Olympic Lyonnais Stadium where they played in the Six Nations? They ever done that?
I don't think they do because I realised when we were looking at that for the Head of Six Nations game, the Stade de Gerland is the old Olympique Lyonnais stadium. So that's
Oh, is
why
it?
when we went, that's why there's still like, that's why it's a massive stadium and there's that top tier that they basically don't open because it can cater for an enormously well-supported French football team.
Yeah.
And Lyon were at a smaller plastic pitch somewhere else before. They have consistently one of the bigger attendances, but in terms of percentage of capacity, they don't get that close. They're quite low down on that because they've got such a big stadium at home. So I don't know. I don't
Fair.
think. I think they have used the football stadium before,
It
but
just looks really cool.
yeah.
Yeah, it
I
did
mean,
look good.
I loved Stade Gerland when we went. From
Yeah,
what I
nice
remember it
place.
in my Chartreuse haze, but yeah.
Very tasty apres as well. It was pretty
Yes.
lively in that place, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Where do we want to go next? Maybe Perpignan, Montpellier.
Yeah.
Or Montpellier Perpignan on the GGL. Amazing win. Perpignan, for a period of time, were in the barrage places in the top six, just outside now. But I mean, what like they've been absolutely phenomenal for well, best part of a couple of months. Montpellier now little bit, not masses, a kind of win, one win away from Bayonne in 12th, but that's a game you would really want to win. And yeah, they seem to stir up the Catalan Fire by blocking those tickets. Think about 4,500 travel to Montpellier, not that far away. And it looked unbelievable, actually. It's for a stadium that often looks a little bit empty. I think it sort of stoked the fires a bit on both on in sort of support of both teams. And again, though, Montpellier went up as they have done a few times at home this year and faded. And I think it was at 25-20, give or take. I think they lost in the end. And they are staring down the barrel. Perpignan looking resplendent in their change colours of the yellow and red, which I absolutely adore. But yeah, what a turnaround from them.
So I've got an interesting one on that that I'll come back to. But Montpellier kind of got to be looking further downwards. I know it seems fanciful, and we wrote off Oyonnax ages ago, but they are actually only 9 points ahead of Oyonnax with four games to play. Personally, I don't think Oyonnax will catch them in 13th, and I'd also be amazed if Montpellier catch Bayonne in 12th. I do think Montpellier will be the team that ends up in that access match slot, but mathematically they could go down automatically. Mathematically, that is not out of the question. On the whole, Montpellier getting or Perpignan getting stronger. So I think this is about as strong as Montpellier can be. Following the back of our lengthy conversation about GIFs last week, they had 17 GIFs. So they basically had all of their good, every the only non sorry the only GIF that is worthy of a starting place that wasn't playing was Nucci, who's a young lad,
Who's
but
injured, I think, isn't
oh,
he?
who is
Because he's
injured?
been,
Yeah, well, he was captain like a few weeks ago when they were doing really well. He was captain,
he's class.
but other than that, they had basically their best French players playing or their best GIF qualified players. There were a couple of names of the non-GIFs that weren't playing, like Paenga, Amosa, Lemosatelli, Harry Williams, but does he make a starting lineup? Who knows? But they had kind of Cerf, Fontaine, Bridge, Simmons, those guys playing. So, but with 17, so they're still below. They stood could still be going into next season penalised as things stand, but they were getting their GIF quota up a little bit. Perpignan had 13 GIFs, and at the start of the season, so their average is fine, but they were all at the start of the season, they were like 18, 19 GIFs a week. And this run of form has coincided with like on average about 14 GIFs a week, so a couple below the quota. So just
Bringing
they've
in the
gone down the approach of
reinforcements.
getting as many Fijians as possible, and we might win some games, seems to have been the approach in the last few weeks for Perpignan. And it's working, and they've got the leeway to do it. They could still go to the barrage and win the title and going with this approach. But they play some, I don't think they were that great. Like Montpellier should have they should be kicking themselves because Carbonell missed three penalties. I think they had one at the end of the first half. They didn't kick a goal either that was kind of kickable.
I really like Louis Carbonnel, but he is Montpellier where they are is I just find them fascinating as a team, but they are not. They lost away at Lyon by I think a point, and okay, a drop goal is never a gimme, but Carbonnel lost missed a drop goal bang in front of the sticks on the 22, last play of the game. So they're nearly the second team to do that. There's been against who did they lose to?
They lost to Stade at home recently,
They lost
and
to
he missed a
Stade at
few.
home and he missed a few, and they lost a good few months ago. I want to say,
Toulon.
I think it was Toulon, and he missed a few there as well. And at they nearly got a losing bonus point at the Marcel de Fronde against La Rochelle. And he missed that off the last kick of the game as well. So you're talking like, I mean, there's a bit of a pattern there, and it's obviously not all on him. But in another season, particularly we've spoken about before, the likes of your Simmons and Henrys and Sagons at Stade Francais and the difference having a kind of 80-85% kicker makes. All well and good having all the stardust that Montpellier have, but if you've got a bloke who unfortunately seems to be fumbling his lines a little bit when it comes to the
He
crunch,
can
then
be flawless off the tee, though. That's the thing.
he can, but he also can be flawed. And I don't know, it just
You've
seems
also
like
got to
one of
think
those seasons.
they binned off
RBC.
Dossie halfway through the season, who might have added some depth. Personally, I think even if they get like they're just not losing their best non-GIF, Cobus Reinach. They're just not going to lose an access match with Cobus Reinach on the pitch. Like, I
You
just
would
can't. I'd
not
be
thought
amazed.
so.
I'd be amazed.
Right, that's Perpignan, Montpellier. What have we got left? We're pretty much there, aren't we?
La Rochelle, Toulon.
La Rochelle, Toulon, Lavani Bottia,
Talk
200 matches.
200
What a
games.
guy.
Talking of GIF quotas, this was very much a Toulon side sent to boost their GIF averages. But they played brilliant. I was really rooting for Toulon. They had a load of young French guys. They're 15, must have been about 12 stone, and was like not shying away from tackling Will Skelton on the charge or anything like that. Like going up in high balls against, Jack Noll or Sataney or someone big like that. They gave it a good go. They in the sense that they tried a lot and a lot of it was quite scrappy. Jack Noll has not scored a try yet for La Rochelle. Neither has Joe Marchant for Stade Francais. That's quite interesting things. This game was a proper. I've doubted it, but this game was a proper ref getting influenced by the home crowd in France sort of thing. Some
Excellent.
of the like there was a yellow card for Tuasuvu that was like quite clearly contact with the shoulder and like barely hit him in the head. And it was like, no, first contact is on the head, yellow card. Some of the decisions, as much as Toulon deserved a bonus point, a losing bonus point, and there was a last minute try that denied them that. They had a scrum. Some of the decision making in this game, they had a scrum just before, on the stroke of half time. Jean-Baptiste Gross, their loosehead prop, has just been sent to the sin bin. So he gets sent to the sin bin from a scrum. They are inside their own 22. They get a free kick. What do? They call for the scrum and they
Sort
get.
of a la South Africa at the World Cup, go
Yes,
for the
apart from the fact that
macho.
they've just lost their loosehead prop to the sin bin and they're going backwards anyway. When they could have just kicked it off, La Rochelle absolutely minced them at the scrum time and scored a try, and they go in 20-10 down when they could have been 13-10 down. There was also a point at 2017 in the second half where they've got there in front of the posts with a penalty on the 5 meter line, and they decide to kick to the corner. Mignoni was doing his nut. He was
Clipboards
shouting.
going in the stand.
He was raging. To be fair, he wasn't the only one because, La Rochelle also did it with Rog giving it the three fingers, toi, toi. But some of the on-field decision for the teams was disastrous, and some of the it was the penalty count 15-5 against Toulon. Like some of the penalties that were being given were just like, what are they meant to? I don't know. It was a proper home ref, and the La Rochelle crowd, which are notoriously very good, were properly getting into the ref.
Sublime stuff. Excellent. Couple more. Talking of home crowds that often influence games. Not on this occasion. Bayonne, the fortress has fallen, as I would like to smugly say I predicted. I
Yeah, you
don't
did.
well I don't think it's I don't know. Bayonne haven't been at their best, albeit they did nearly turn over Stade Francais. But there's been a couple of wobbles at the Stade Jean d'Aigle, and Bordeaux went absolutely full noise, didn't they? And I mean, they look, they're great. I always thought what was amazing about this game was that Bordeaux get out to an early lead, Bayonne bring it back and go ahead, and you kind of think that wave at home is just going to overwhelm them. Luku, absolute boy, the man. was class again. Jalabert looked very tasty. And the cherry on top, did you see the drop goal at the end?
I mean, you couldn't, if you follow any sort of account, French rugby account on Instagram, you couldn't miss it. But it's just so outrageous. It's also
just
completely unnecessary. Like the game is won, it's like last minute. He's like going towards a touchline, taking it over his shoulder, turns, sizes it up from 40 meters out, about on the 5 meter line, and just slots it. He
it's
was,
just
they, I thought they
amazing.
were. This game was really entertaining, so it helped it down. Like, but within 1 minute of kickoff, it was like helting it down. They were drenched. Greg Pittat didn't care. He didn't have a. He was just there looking like the angry, disappointed father that he does on every Bayern game. But like, they were wet through within about 2 minutes, and Bayern dealt with the conditions in that first half. Absolute. And then it was glorious sunshine second half. But the game was gone by then. They were 18, Bordeaux were 18-3 up. And Bayern just dealt with conditions so badly. And Maxime Loucu and Mathieu Jalibert were masterful. Like, just the variety of kicking, length of kicking, short kicks. And then just when they saw an opportunity, just Jalibert puts the gas on. That first try, the first few minutes, like Bayern didn't see that coming at all. They got a little bit of luck with one of the tries that like got deflected a few times and
Yeah, I
made its way
saw
through. But they were brilliant. Bayern properly came out the block second half, like fighting in both the metaphorical and literal sense.
that.
But then Bordeaux just kept them pinned back, with Jalibert and Luku. And they made a mess of the breakdown, and they just kept kicking penalties. Like, Luke hit one monster penalty. Shout out Diaby, Mamadou Diaby, who for quite often to me is just a name on a team sheet that I recognise. But he was brilliant. Like, all the unseen work, few turnover pens that led to points. Yeah, I thought they were brilliant. One real nice touch in this game, Richard. Do you see the try scorer who scored for both teams?
Who scored for both teams?
Yeah. You could be forgiven. You could be mistaken.
Tatafu, the prop.
Tevita
Yeah.
Tatafu, the number eight, scored. They played against each other, and the number eight,
I
Tevita
did
Tatafu,
see
scored
them.
for Bordeaux, and the prop, Tevita Tatafu, from Bayonne, scored.
Lovely touch.
They're both Tongan, and ironically, neither of them might end up ever playing for Tonga, because I think Tevita Tatafu could be French quite soon. The prop, that is.
He is ridiculously
He
big.
scored from a line out peel, and it's like you're not stopping him from 5 meters out.
No, it's having like a fridge running at you. Did you see, this is a bit of a, this is maybe one for the digesties, but we're going to go for it anyway. I'm not that familiar with the sort of showbiz culture in France, but before the game, as we know at Bayonne, they sing the Peña Bayona. And there's a guy called Patrick, I'm going to try and pronounce the name correctly, Bruel or Brule,
Yeah.
who, as far as I can tell, was some sort of schweffy mum's favorite actor, singer, presenter, singing the Peña Bayona and on the pitch. And they then got fairly roundly thumped. And one of the French rugby Twitter accounts, highlighted this, and I think in honor of his sort of what's it called, like kind of quiff back comb hairdo, renamed the Peña Bayona the Peña Bayona, Peign, which is the comb Bayona, which I thought was like suitably a bit scathing and spot on. So yeah, don't get your aunt's favorite singer to belt out your club song before a game. It's only going to bring bad luck.
But he also did one of those really naff, like, token kickoffs as well that I
Oh, did he?
hate.
Like
Yeah.
not like what's the one? Like there was it the 94 World Cup? Was it Diana Ross who missed the pe oh, maybe it
I have
wasn't
no
Diana
idea.
Ross. Oh, it's amazing. Misses the open goal. It's incredible.
Well, it was a punt rather than a drop kick, but it was like
Okay.
immediately before the game. Do you know what? I saw that video of the Peña Bayona on Instagram, and they tend to put a video up of every home game of the Peña Bayona. It gives me spite, it gives me goosebumps, like every time I see it. It's still amazing, like
It's a
because they
good
film it from
one.
the center of the ground and like the whole stadium is singing it. It is
Yeah.
amazing.
It is good. And to round off the top 14, Toulouse Racing,
Yes.
which Toulouse are looking good, I would suggest.
Yeah, they didn't get an attacking bonus point in this. But they should have done. There was a late try for Racing that denied them the attacking bonus. Racing weren't great. I really don't think this Racing squad is great. They didn't look like they had much plan other than the kind of individual brilliance of their halfbacks, which where there was one outrageous offload from Le
Legarec.
Garrick. It's
It
like a
was
kind of
incredible.
so it's
Ollie
like when you're
Mbogue
trying to do a
practice.
trick play like in like under nines warm-ups and you're trying to trick your mate that you're not going to pass it to him. You like circle it around your head and flick it over your shoulder. It's like it was a bit like that. But other than that, I didn't think they were great. And just the impact of Tony D as well. He was on the bench, but Dubon, like as soon as he came on, the game was changed within 7 minutes of him coming on. It was a completely different game. People just panic. Like, I know we'll preview the Quins game, but if they're going to go anyway to winning, they just need to not like get people. He just attract his aura now just attracts players. And he'll just wait until he'll just stand there looking like he doesn't know what he's doing. Someone will bite in and he'll just pop it. And then whoever it is, whether it's a prop or a winger, they're just through a hole. Like Cyril Bailly was brilliant. Like his real USP is that like carrying, offloading game. Love to see him in rugby league. I think he'd do a job playing prop for Parramatta Eels or
Mate, he's got the hands.
someone
I can
like
see him
that.
in that sort of Kieran Cunningham role, just
Yeah.
distributing, but from a wide rig. Yeah, they looked unbelievable. And my notes that I've
Talking of
got.
rugby league, the Miafu played who started in rugby league. He's just a get out of jail free card in attack and defence. He monstered Jordan Joseph. That was a huge like Jordan Joseph had a proper rugby league style run up and Miafu just sent him flying back. And then in attack, if they need to go forward, they just give him the ball and they go forward. And he's got that offloading game. He just has so many impacts so often. And he was man of the match when Quins lost in the group stage of the Champions Cup to Toulouse. He's just in brilliant form.
Yeah, he's an amazing player. The only other thing I've got in my notes for this one was a guy you love, Castro Ferreira, rapid.
Yeah.
He's I mean, the
Love
options
him.
they've got in the back row are ridiculous. Kinghorn on the wing looked absolutely immense as well, out of position. And Antoine Dupont completely manhandled Cameron Wockie, which was quite amusing as well. The guy's just, it's just every game there's something, isn't there?
One for
Right, I
another
think.
time, but I think these might be the two best looking coaching teams, but I'm gonna have to think about that in more detail. But there were some good looking chaps.
Maybe.
Mainly Racing with Michalak and Zarzewski, but then they had Poitrineau and Jerome Kano on the other, and Ugo Moller's a bit of a dasher himself, so
Silver
yeah.
Fox. Yeah. Is Yannick Nyanga still in the coaching staff? Yeah, he always
He's
looks
like director
unbelievable.
of rugby at Racing, isn't he?
Always looks so dapper in those blazers. Right, we need to wrap up there. We'll be back with our preview of the Champions Cup and a trip to Toulouse in just a moment. Right, so we're looking ahead to one of the undoubtedly most exciting weekends of the club rugby calendar, the Champions Cup semi-finals. And as we've mentioned probably about 15 times already during this podcast, Harlequins have the unenviable task of travelling to Toulouse to take on the French champions, who are looking fairly tasty. It must be said. We'll go into the game in just a moment, but we are delighted and hopefully of some use, a little public service announcement, to both fortunate to have been to Toulouse a couple of times. Rob, you were there very recently. I think between us, we've covered off, we've done a solo trip. We've done what you might call a sort of friends trip. And we've also done a sort of couples weekend away in Toulouse. So we've got all bases covered.
I'd like to clarify that wasn't us as a couple before
that is before
people
correct.
Kind of start casting rumours or in fact our friends get jealous, because that can happen as well.
That can happen. A great weekend away in Toulouse, Rob. Talk me through it. What are you saying?
So I think when we've previewed Toulouse in the past, we've said kind of largely game day, go to the Marché Victor Hugo, spend your time in the stadium before and after, it'll be great, and hopefully there'll be Stade Rennais and there'll be a bodega. But there's more to Toulouse than just rugby. Marché Victor Hugo is amazing as a French market, classical French market. When I went in March, Reece and I went to the rugby, so we did the kind of market, then onto the stad, and then stayed at the bodega and went out for dinner. And then he had to go on Sunday, and I actually went to watch Toulouse football on the Sunday, which is where the game will be this Sunday between Toulouse and Quins, which is a bit more central. So you can walk there from town, kind of along the river. It goes through kind of a little bit of an industrial sort of area type thing. It's kind of like a weird lock key canal type thing, but it's definitely walkable and it's not pretty. Whereas the walk to Ernest Vallon is not the nicest. But it's walkable from town. Like it was half an hour, 45 minutes from central town. I mean, terms of things to look out for, you know me, Richard, my specialities are craft beer, pretentious coffee shops and pretentious wine bars. In terms of what if you are looking for a wine bar and a bit more relaxed type thing, I'm not going to pronounce this right, but it's Nabucodonosor. Search Nabu Toulouse and you'll find it. It was unbelievable value for how good the wine was. It's kind of like Nebuchadnezzar, which is obviously the size of a wine bottle. Yeah. I don't know if it's the French translation, but Nabucodonosor. So down a small street. I didn't think it was going to be open. It didn't look very open, but the guy spoke great English, invited me in, great wine. And I paid for like three glasses of wine. I paid €15 for what in London would be probably about 40, £40. Terms of craft beer, the beer of Graf was very nice if you wanted a really, really pretentious beer like I am. If not, Hopscotch, which was like a Scottish themed bar that brews a few in house, was kind of a bit more of your kind of pub type thing if you don't like Irish bars, but you do like Irish bars in a way. Go to a Scottish bar because it's probably better. Yeah, that was quite cool. I had one of the best pizzas in my life, I reckon. after these what craft beer bars, it must be said. But I think I might have had two as well. One of them was phenomenal. But Marcello Saint Pierre, which is really near like the square near the river. So there was that bar Chez Tonton, which feels very
dangerous.
Very studenty. Yeah, very studenty bar, but. Marcello, they did takeaway. The restaurant itself looks really nice, but the pizza was so good. I took a photo of it, and obviously taking photos of slightly squashed pizza is not that attractive, but memorable. Cafes, I didn't find like an embed. The coffee pot was a place in quite a nice little spot, and there was a place called Le Petit Fabrique that had an enormous queue for the sandwiches and the cinnamon. I had a warm cinnamon roll from there that was phenomenal. That's relatively central as well. And we'll probably try and remember to chuck them up on socials as well for people, or do a little skit on that. But yeah, a few. And if you really want a to go all out. I had a fantastic tasting menu with wine included for 120 euros, so basically 100 quid on the nose by myself, which was phenomenal, but and phenomenal value given how much wine I got and how good the food was. So drop us a DM
Nice.
if you want a tasting menu recommendation.
Excellent. I've got a few on my list as well that you haven't covered off from the two trips. So looking to walk off a hangover, the Jardin Japonais is walkable from the center of town. It's not, it's not amazing, but it's a fairly pretty
It's very
place to
relaxing there.
very relaxing, just to digest the events of the evening before. Food-wise, I mean, we said the market. Specifically within there, so there's some restaurants that go along the top, which I think they're the kind of thing that can be quite hit and miss. I've only been to one of them. It's called Om or Bon Gayu. It's kind of prefix like set menu fare, really well priced. I mean, I went in like the depths of winter and it was cassoulet. But I did actually have a little look at some photos from their recent set menu. It's like kind of flank steak, Toulouse sausage. Really nice food, really cheap. Not overly for somewhere that's arguably a bit touristy. I don't think you're going to get stung there. And quite a nice little traditional feel. Around the corner from there is L'Entrecôte, which is like a bit of a Toulouse institution. I think they've branched out all over the place now. They serve steak, chips, and that's pretty much it. And the queues go around the corner for hours. But if you've got time on your side, really highly reviewed. Next to that is if you're fancying something a little bit closer to home, Pub O'Clock, which looks bloody awful, but as we found out, it's actually quite a good bar, a really good selection of
Genuinely good pub,
beers.
yeah.
Looks a bit shady from the outside, but is actually a good crack. Very much, albeit, it's a sort of loosely Irish, English, Scottishy type bar. It's full of locals, and it's a really, really good place for a drink. And then the two other
We watched one of
spots,
the
which
France World Cup game, football World Cup.
we did. Maybe that was why it was really good. Or if you're just going out there to watch the and you haven't been able to get a ticket, probably worse places to watch the game as well. And then two other spots. If you're looking to splash the cash a little bit, Chez Jeannot, a brilliant seafood restaurant, which we accidentally stumbled across. And when I went years ago with my now wife to Toulouse-Vicace, and it was -5 degrees, the trade-off was that we would go in there afterwards, and it was fabulous food. And then the other one, which is a real brilliant all-round place, which is central but not like bang smack in the center, is a little bar called Café Authier, which was we went to when we went, Rob, which I think you'd agree, kind of really nice, I guess, sort of slightly theatrical French decor, really nice selection of beers, well-priced wine, and some really good kind of bar snacky type foods, really nice, like croquettes. And I think there was some sort of squid dish from memory,
We
which I
had some
seem to
very
remember us
garlicky squid. Yeah, that was excellent.
absolutely blasting away after a few pints, which is brilliant. I mean, look, Toulouse, it's not, I wouldn't say it's the sort of place that you need to have the inside line. It's a wicked city, like stunning place. Lively, loves its rugby, brilliant food. If you're going, then fair play. It's gonna be a great weekend. I've actually seen, I don't know if you saw this on my little interlude, Rob, another WhatsApp group we're in. One of our friends has secured a late doors ticket to the game,
I
and
saw
is
a
now
lot of messages coming in.
trying to encourage a few people along. That ticket doesn't look legit, but I guess that's up to him to find out. And if you are going out, Brucey Bonus, if you've been following our renowned social feeds, you may be aware that there are two games in the vicinity if you're out there from a long weekend, or if you're at least out there on the Saturday. And those are two games in National, which is the division below Pro Day Dur. We discussed it a couple of weeks ago. And both Albi, which is about an hour train from Toulouse, an hour and one solitary euro to get you there. We'll be playing Parisian Club Suresnes. That's a 7:30 kickoff. Albi itself looks beautiful, home of the Toulouse-Lautrec Museum. Yeah, it looks like an amazing place, and they'll, a real rugby kind of heartland club, proper feeder club into Toulouse. They're in the, I saw this, they're in the top 14 as recently as 2010, Albie,
I did
which
not
is
know
quite
that.
cool. No, and then sort of just to the southeast of Toulouse, again, 40 minutes an hour train, Carcassonne, famous fortified city, destination of a diverted flight for you, Rob, I believe, when you went out to Toulouse. Yeah, another awesome place. They're playing Chambéry, who beat Tarbes to set up a game with US Carcassonne at the Stade Albert Domecq. Basically, all the details are up on our Twitter page. Train times very doable there and back from Toulouse, cheap. Tickets start at about 10 euros. And yeah, if one game isn't enough for the weekend and you want to experience something outside the big city, I suggest that either of those could be a fantastic option and something to show off to your friends, colleagues, relatives, fellow French rugby bores about.
Two things to add for me. Firstly, just to show off to your friends, both Albi and Carcassonne play in yellow and black. So the scope for some outrageous French rugby stash is very high. And of course, we spotted at the weekend who was playing nine for Carcassonne in National, a former Harlequins player and former Argentinian captain, Martin Landajo. Is the starting scrum half for Nacional. So to me, that just shows how strong Nacional is. Because I think Peter Beetham might play for Carcassonne and Narbonne as well.
Yes. I can't remember which one, but he's at one of
One of
them.
them, yeah. So yeah, and for anyone, certainly anyone of a Quinn's persuasion might want to see one of their old boys in what should be a really, really good game. Which one would you go to if you had the choice, Rich?
I would go to Albi. Because I've never heard of anyone going to Albi.
I would also go to Albi, partly because they were second in the league going into it, so they should win. Partly because the city itself looks incredible and I've not been. And the kits flair. They've got, I think they've got Bumblebee as their mascot as well, or something like that, that looks
Nice
quite
touch.
loose. And yeah, it's nearer as well. I think it's easier to get to from Toulouse. But I would definitely be like, there would be the you were saying that one of our friends on our WhatsApp groups is trying to convince us to go. That I said to him earlier in the week, that flight does not get us there in time to go to a National playoff game, so I'm not interested. I would rather go to that and experience just how good that would be. Almost more than Toulouse FC. The Toulouse FC stadium is very cool, by the way, I should say. I don't know, Toulouse FC play in purple as well, so all of the stadium, like inside all the advertising, is purple, which is kind of quite is something they do in France, but it looks really cool. Great stadium.
Alla the Aguilera Biarritz we discussed a few weeks ago. Yeah, look, if you're going, it's going to be, if you get to one of those and you happen to listen to this, let us know because
Please report back,
it will
yeah.
make those, I was going to say hours, those minutes on the SNCF app, looking to find those, all worthwhile if someone gets out there and gets to see one of those games as well. We should probably briefly, before we move on to Pro Day Dirt, which is obviously what those teams will be playing for, we should probably briefly touch on the game itself. Toulouse, you would think, massive favourites. Obviously, Harlequins put in a phenomenal performance to set up the match away at Stade Chaban Delmas against Bordeaux-Bègles. Toulouse feels like, I mean, it wasn't that long ago Bordeaux beat Toulouse, but it feels like a step up the way they're playing and back to absolute full noise strength. Barb, I'm hearing Jack Willis might be out,
Yeah, Castro
which is
Ferreira came
big.
in late for Willis on Saturday. I think Willis was due to play, Castro Ferreira is a brilliant player. I've worked out that he's kind of actually more, I think before I said kind of like a Simmons or a Mercer, he's actually quite like Jasper Wiese, I think, like just really, really aggressive in everything he does, carries all day, deceptively powerful, rucks really aggressively, tackles really aggressively, and just goes full noise into everything and just loads of involvement. But that is a very different player to Willis, who has improved his ball carrying, but the breakdown work of Willis is phenomenal. Cross didn't play at the weekend. I assume he'll be back. I imagine Tony D will start with Grau on the bench. I was coming into this podcast, Rich. I was trying to think of like where's the weakness in Toulouse's game, or how do Quins beat Toulouse? And where I kind of landed on was I think Toulouse will beat themselves if they lose. Like it's they are that they weren't flawless on Saturday against Racing. They try a lot. Like that was second v third, Racing v Toulouse, and was a complete polar opposite of the Premiership version of second v third, where Bath and Sarries kicked the leather off it for 60, 70 minutes. Like there was no one wanting to play any rugby in that game, whereas Toulouse and Racing were wanting to try absolutely everything. And I wonder if that is how, you know, someone that is really good at counter-attacking and can pounce on mistakes like Quins, that could be where they win it. The scrum, like they Toulouse dominant. Racing scrum is not very good, but I think they won four scrum penalties. So at least Quins should get parity there. If Willis isn't playing, does Will Evans come into his own again, like we saw in a team that perhaps lacking one or two jackalers? Can Evans and Dom Brandt and Esterhazy make the most of that? I can't
Yeah,
think of much else.
it's a tough one. I kind of think that
Goal kicking, if it comes down to that, you know, is it going to be Kinghorn? Is it going to be Malia? Is it going to be Ntamack? None of them are.
Ramos
Sorry, Ramos not playing. Yeah,
Ramos will
ignore
probably
me.
have something to say
Yeah.
about that. I kind of think, look, Harlequins can, we've seen it so many times, they can score from anywhere, they can do some ridiculous things, they can tear teams to shreds. I think you look at it, and for every one of the kind of trump cards for Harlequins, pretty much in every position, there's someone in the opposition who can do the same at least, or you know, arguably better. So you look at, you know, like Evans has been just amazing for ages now, but I mean, he might not play, but is he better than Jack Willis? Probably not. You know, Marcus Smith looked unreal at the weekend. Is he, you know, he could have a better day out than Ntamack, but
And
Ntamack's
that's starting to look
phenomenal.
really good now. Right, he
Yeah.
definitely was a bit rusty. He looked really good on Saturday, I thought.
Like Tyrone Green, he's been wicked like the last few weeks. You know, unbelievable. Blair Kinghorn or Tomo Ramos or both. Like,
Ramos
it's
looks
tricky.
quick post-injury. He looks rapid. But then I was happy
Yeah,
with Peter
it's just,
Aki compared to
yeah.
Esterhazy. And like Peter Aki is so good. He's just the
So
glue in that side.
you kind of feel like all of those areas there's, you know, at the absolute very least parity. I kind of think, to your point about the scrum, I feel like that is maybe actually the one area that I think Quins can get. They, you know, they did brilliantly against Bordeaux. They absolutely dominated that Bordeaux pack. For all the heft in the second row with Meafu, I don't think. I mean, the hookers are pretty tidy. I like Cyril Bai is an amazing, amazing rugby player, but I wouldn't necessarily, you probably wouldn't say, and this is being, you know, this is a little bit nitpicking, that his scrummaging is his kind of like is his best suit. And then you know, you've got Collier, Marler, and Baxter, who you would think if Quins are gonna get anywhere in this game, are gonna have to have a massive game, and have shown they can have these massive games. And as we've seen, you know, particularly as English rugby fans, if there's one thing in a game of rugby that can totally tip the balance and push a game in your favor, almost more than anything else, is if you get control of the scrum. Now, I don't think it's going to be that straightforward, but I think there's a little glimmer there, and I think if Quins are going to get anything, that's probably where they are. And then it's
Algeciri
can.
was Aldagiri was brilliant on the weekend, but Merkler, the reserve scrub, tight head, isn't that great. He's great around the park, brilliant around the park, but he's not that great at scrummaging. And you think that side is the Baxter Marler side. So yeah, maybe that is. But
And
that said, like, Quins just have no one near the capability of Miafu. And Miafu was man of the match in that game in December at the Stoop. So I think he could be the
yeah.
X factor. Him Flamon back playing, Francois Cross
It's
carrying really well. The carrying of the whole forward pack is what is so relentless about Toulouse. It's just going to come for you at some point. And eventually,
yeah.
however well you defend, it's going to come for you at some point.
Yeah. Well, right, predictions, cards on the table. What's going to happen then?
I think Leinster will beat Northampton by about 15, 20 points.
Fair. We'll leave it at that, shall we?
I just think this Toulouse team is, I think it will be quite similar to the scoreline from their Racing game. So 30 something to mid-teens.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure. I think it might be a bit higher scoring than that, but I was going to say, I think to lose by probably two tries, give or take, is where I'm at. But it should be, I don't know, Quins will have a patch, and it's just, can they, yeah, can they stick in it? Who knows? But
Bath gave Toulouse a bit of a scare back in the group stage, and that was a high scoring back and forth game, quite similar in style to the Quins Bordeaux one. It could be similar to that. It could be a belter of a game. Should be a belter of a game.
yeah, they both should be, I think. Right, that's enough on that. Hopefully some, yeah, some hope for Quins fans in there, and if nothing else, a couple of half decent bar recommendations for if it goes Pete Tong or if it goes amazingly well. Remains to be seen, but yeah, can't wait for it.
And details for National are on at Rosbys Rugby on Twitter, where Rich has done a sterling job in doing a hell of a lot of research for anyone that's willing to read it and take it in. But yeah, there's some great recommendations for travel to those National games as well on at Rosbys Rugby on Twitter or X.
Very kind of you. Well, we'll wrap up with Pro Des Deux and some digestif and what's your petit four and digestifs in just a sec. Right, we say it every week, another just hilariously brilliant topsy-turvy round of Pro Des Deux rugby. Where do we? I think probably there's one place to start, and that is down in Mont de Marsan, which I think we discussed last week, and it was the big lawn derby, and it was a sellout, which is the first time ever the Stade, the newly renamed Stade André Guy Boniface, has ever sold out 12,500. For a Pro Des Deux game down there, and
Twelve and a half
packed.
thousand. That is more than most Premiership teams,
Yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
outrageous. And Dax, who I know you have a soft spot for various reasons, won away for the first time in 18 years at Stade Montois. And there's an amazing, actually, we'll retweet it. They've done like a little mini kind of, it's not documentary, but like little kind of bit of videography around the match, and it's just awesome. Did you catch any of it? I know you were probably following your man who's just re-signed at Dax, who's the new, what's the quote? The new Rupeni Thao Thao.
The new Rupeni Thalthal, Jope Nysera. So he signed a new contract this week to 2027, having us said recently that surely one of the big top 14 players has got to pick him up, and thereby loading a bit of pressure on the hype that we'd given him. And my God, did he deliver! Like, what a game, but also, how quick is he? Like, two tries,
Rapid.
one of which was just the one where he collects the kick, like, which is just ridiculous wheels, to then chip ahead and gas everyone and dot it down was just phenomenal. They've signed him till 2027. Brilliant. I now want them to get promoted purely so, like, they've got a lot. Dax's squad have a lot of, like, aging islanders. There's a lot of blokes in their mid-30s from Fiji, Samoa and Tonga. So I have no idea, like, if they were to get promoted, what would happen. But they've got Nocera, so it doesn't really matter. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, he looked, the try is worth a watch. Like, the, I know it chips ahead and finishes in the corner, but, like, the speed he's moving at is completely ridiculous to get in front of his man. But yeah, Dax flying, lowest budget or second lowest budget in Pro Day there, like, well in the, like, fully in the playoff places. As are
having been promoted, which is.
Having been promoted last year with Valence from Man. Another team flying we discussed a lot recently are Grenoble, who put away Bezier at Stade des Alpes. Again, attendance. I don't know what the final one was, but before kickoff, gates still open. They had 14,000 at the Stade des Alpes, which is a big ground. It's a proper ground for big fixtures. But that is phenomenal. And again, I think speaks to how well they're doing and the run they're on. And I don't think...
Their average attendance this year is 7,000. So they are, they've got the third best attendance in, because all the attendance stats came out last week. They've got the third best attendance in Pro Day Dur at 7,000. But to then double that just shows where they're going. Bezier's had a really weak team, or a pretty weak team. But Grenoble were 31-7 up after 41 minutes. Like, they were just completely dominant. Javakia, big Georgian second row, was monstering his way about the park and scored a couple of good tries. They're just flying. Barnaby Kuyu, brother of Baptiste Kuyu, played really well. And then kicking sticks was not Sam Davis, but Truyu.
I saw that. They've got Kuyu and Truyu.
Yeah. I mean, they 34-19. They kind of took their foot off the gas, but they'd fully earned the right to. They looked phenomenal. It sounded quite full on TV as well. Like, the stadium sounded like a lot, because it's 25,000 seater stadium or something, isn't it, for the football team?
Yeah, it's massive. Yeah, it's a really big place. But yeah, they're as we said for a little while now, they're going great guns. A few, like, fairly one sided ones elsewhere. Provence dusted Valence from around 43-8. Van put away Rouen, top v bottom, 52-14. Not much report from that game apart from a new trophy to add to the mix, which I think we both learned about this week.
The Mont-Saint-Michel trophy, which is, are you aware of Mont-Saint-Michel as a place?
Yes, I am. I think I've been.
It's kind of an iconic little island in Normandy.
Yeah, and in fact, I have been on a school trip.
It's an amazing looking place. I tried to do some digging, but from what I can tell, it's just between, they now contest a trophy between the Bretons of Brittany and the Normans of Normandy. And Van have held the trophy twice this year.
Well, there's a long way to go, but it could be a while before they play
with that. Given the directions again, they're going. But Van, like we predicted on our little preview, that they could run riot at home against bottom of the league, and they certainly did. Interesting one, Thibaut Debye's at 10 for Van is on loan from Poe. So he has played a couple of games, and he seems to go back and forth. Like, he has played, he played block for Van and then played in, like, the Challenge Cup for Poe and then has gone back to Van. So I don't know if they do go up, what happens to him. He scored a great try off, like, a really tall
the
box kick.
Overhead kick, like the Carlos Spencer style.
Yeah, I see those and I just think of the Barbarians, like the...
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure they had a tap and go. But yeah, box kick on the 22 into the gap and Debye's just ran through. Couple of big results at the bottom. Saxby, our boys, the second team to beat
Yes.
Nevers at home. Nevers suddenly struggling, but it's actually a down 10. Having been, we were kind of worried for them 2 or 3 weeks ago, or 2 or 3 rounds ago. Their defense has been great for the last couple of weeks. Like, they just don't score, they don't concede that many tries. And then Masibaka, number 8, Australian lad, I think he's 20, 21. It's 5 tries in 5 games from number 8. Scored 2 in this game. Pretty good time to come into some form out of nowhere. That's pretty good.
Did
And then,
you see their coach, the director of rugby, doing his ridiculous dance in the change room
yes,
afterwards?
trying a little bit of Scott Razor-Robertson in the that was excellent. The big one at the bottom, because it means they now can't finish bottom of the league, is Biarritz. So they won away at Argen. We wondered whether Colomier and Argen, who don't really have that much to play for, might throw in the towel. Colomier did win 24-20 at home to Montauban, who look like they're probably going to end up in the access match slot. Whereas Argen, it looks like a team in the first half that did not have much to play for, from what I could see. Like it felt like they needed to go 27-14 down to kick into gear. Billy Searle was good, really good kicking, a lovely touch for one of the tries. But Bezier, sorry, Argen, kind of doing beer, it's a bit of a favour. They might not be able to clear their debts. Like, I think the kind of white horse or white knight of the new investment might actually have been a bit of a Trojan horse of some sorts. I've probably got my metaphors completely wrong there. Yeah, I think there's some stuff. Basically, the investors are kind of not quite prepared to clear the debts, which is in French rugby a real issue. You have to start with a zero balance sheet. You can't have any debt at the start of the season, I think, is one of the rules. Otherwise, you do go down, which is why some of those teams like Béziers, Narbonne, Montauban have gone down in the past for what kind of gets termed financial indiscretions, but actually is just kind of a bit too much debt on their balance sheet. So still up in the air, Biarritz off the field and what's going to happen next season, but they are looking closer to staying up on the field, which is big for them. Certainly, if they're going to try and wipe their debts, they might want the big commercial deals you can get in Pro Leader.
Nice. And there's no Pro Leader this weekend. We have got the two
No, no.
national matches that we discussed to whet your appetite ahead of the Champions Cup. But yeah, should we park Pro Leader there then? Because we'll do a proper preview of the final two rounds next week. Brive also hammered Aurillac in what's a bit of a derby game, perhaps
Oh,
unsurprisingly.
yeah.
Rob, Petit Fours, Digestis, what have you got to finish us off with here?
Well, just picking up on that, Provence are guaranteed a home semi-final, and they celebrated by the whole squad going into the Apres match and drinking with the fans on stage in the Apres match, which looked quite loose, I have to say. It was like proper, it looked like 3 a.m. at a student nightclub sort of vibe. It was it looked really, really loose. We mentioned it last week. Po won El Siminzico. Did you see some of the supporters at El Siminzico, so the Simmons Derby?
I saw some Tynmouth Rugby Club shirts, and I saw an uncle wearing a half and half shirt,
Handmade half and half shirt.
who also looked like the ultimate stereotypical French old boy. He had like the big tash, the long hair. So yeah,
Or
I'm quite
could have been a farmer from South
Devon.
Devon. Yeah.
It's a fine line. It's a fine line.
Do you want to get? You can go next. I've got a juicy one, but you can go next.
I've only got one, which I think is a good closer because it finishes,
Okay.
it pulls together everything nicely. I think it might not.
Oh, actually, one thing on the backs game that I did see. So just before one of the yellow cards, which was basically a guy I'd given up. The reason why I'd given up is because in the run up to that play, nice, no, the number 8 for Dax hurdled a prone player, So there's a guy like on his back getting his hamstring stretched out by the physio. The Dax number eight has picked the ball off the base and wanted to go that way and just decided to kind of hurdle over him, which is not something I've ever seen. Obviously, we had the amazing moment of Faka Tower in the Champions Cup final against Chiefs, just lying on his back, chilling out. But someone actually hurdling an injured player was something new. The big one on French rugby Instagram was Capreton Hossegor Rugby. Have you seen this? I don't know if it made it to
No, I
Twitter.
haven't.
So, they, Capreton Hossegor Rugby, were in a playoff game against Mimizan in Regional One to get into Federal Three. So that's to go from the regional leagues into the national league, which is quite big. And a complaint was put in against Capreton Hossegor for an un for dis for an ineligible player, and they were disqualified. And then basically, it looks like there was it's either something really, really fucking shady, which isn't out of the question in French rugby, certainly not lower down, or it's like a genuine admin error. And all of there was a big thing on Instagram about getting the disqualification reversed. Like it was just it was unlucky, it was bad administration, it was a mistake, et cetera, et cetera. It was a campaign all week. Johnny Beattie lives near Capreton, so he was like he was reposting stuff. And on Saturday there was a I think they were then due to play a final for something, I don't know, but they were going to get promoted either way if they weren't disqualified, and eventually that did get rescinded. So Capreton Hossegor, who have some incredibly flair kit, it has to be said, like a red and yellow hoops with a little touch of royal blue in that, after a week-long campaign against, not against Mimizan, against the FFR, I think it was. They were at pains to say that. But my French isn't good enough to know quite what was going on, but it was wild.
Love a bit of local scandal.
And the other very French thing I saw today was Christophe Urios talking about his time at Ubé Bay, saying he should have taken Benjamin Urdapilleta there, but didn't want to because of Jalibert. Didn't want him overbearing Jalibert, but he made a mistake because he needs his warriors like Benjamin Urdapilleta.
Incredible.
That and that's a quiz for
Incredible.
next. That's some thinking for next week, Rich. Who is the who are like the coaches that always need their man, like Allardyce and Kevin Nolan or something like that. But yeah.
Amazing. All right, final petty four from my side then. My beloved Cass. Well, we spoke at the top, didn't we, about the big game, the big summer kickoff, bit of karaoke, bit of Jess Glyn at not half time before the game. My beloved Cast have launched a package deal for aficionados of both rugby and music. You can get a ticket to see Cast play Montpellier. Which is a massive game for both at both ends of the table. In, it won't be this weekend, will it? Because it's Champions and Challenge Cup, but next weekend. And as part of that, you can also have a ticket to a day of, I think it's called Pause Guitar Festival, which is a big music
Pause
festival,
as in press pause.
as in press pause, as in
Okay.
stop. It's being headlined by Gossip.
Yeah, standing in the way of control.
Of Beth Ditto fame, I think. Am I right? I think
Yeah,
I've got that
yeah.
right. Simple Minds. Don't what's their
Don't you forget about
Don't
me.
You Forget About Me? Don't You Forget About It? Yeah. Yeah, big actually that's quite a big tune, isn't it? And probably most iconically and bizarrely, Alice Cooper is also one of the
Nice. School's
headliners.
out.
School's Out.
There we go. We've named a song from
Poison.
each of them.
Perfect, proper know our stuff, well researched. Yeah, as far as the festival itself is actually on, I think the 7th, 8th, and 9th of June, so they're about a month apart. So as far as sort of rogue package deals goes, it's certainly up there. And just to round things off very nicely, do you know where said music festival is taking place?
Presumably in Cast.
It's not in Cass. It's near Cass, but not that near Cass. It's in Albi, which
Ah.
by the time someone listens to this, they may have been to Albi They may have loved it. They may have decided to go back next weekend to Caspi Montpellier, and then back again to Albi for a bit of Alice Cooper in the early French summer. Right, does that wrap us up?
I think so.
I think
Other than to
so.
say, we are at Rosbys Rugby on pretty much every social media channel, TikTok, Instagram, X, Twitter, YouTube. I think that's everything. But yeah, we're at Rosbys Rugby on all of
That
them. Give us a
sounds.
follow, and we will. And if we don't put out the recommendations or anything we've said, we would just nudge us, and we will remember. I've got a lot of time on my hands.
Yeah, we'll get them up there to anyone heading out to Toulouse for the Harlequins game, or just heading out to Toulouse full stop, or anywhere in France full stop. Have an amazing time. It should be an incredible
Pack the factor
occasion.
50.
Pack the Factor 50. Pack your caps, your bucket hats, and yeah, I hope it's a blast. Can't wait to sit down with a little demi at the weekend and watch it myself. That has been Robert. I've been Richard. We've been Rosbif Rugby. You can follow us on all the things that Rob just mentioned. And in the meantime, au revoir.
Au revoir.